The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
For the past 5 weeks, we've been looking at disciplines or habits that we need to practice as followers of Christ in order to experience the life that he intended. So we looked at scripture, the importance of reading the Bible, the importance of praying, the importance of going to church, joining together with others as the body of Christ and experiencing that life together. We talked about giving, generously giving of what we have as a way of sacrificing what we have in worship to God. Last week, some of you were a little surprised that fasting was actually a habit for Christians to practice. And I hope you've been thinking about that and how you can make that a part of your regular habits. Well, today's habit is going to seem almost out of place because all the other ones we've been talking about, it's like you need to make the effort to do each of these things. And it does take effort to develop a habit. But today's habit almost seems counterintuitive because I'm going to tell you that you need to stop working. It's like, but aren't we supposed to put out this effort? Well, but the point of stopping working, I'm talking about stopping working from what we do to survive and the basic things we do for food, shelter, and clothing to be able to take the time to practice the other habits that God has given us. Today we're looking at this, what the habit that we call Sabbath. And in order to understand that, we need to start by looking at what happened when God created us. You realize, don't you, that we were made to work. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, he didn't put them on the clouds, floating in the clouds, playing harps and singing the Hallelujah chorus, which some people think that we're going to be doing that for eternity, and that's just a false concept. God created us to be on this earth in a garden where we work. And Adam and Eve, before they even sinned, they were created to work, to produce things, to develop things. And it was a joy, it was a delight, it was a sense of fulfillment. But Adam and Eve, we know that they disobeyed God. They did not do what God asked them to do. And instead of work being a delight, it became a drudgery. Instead of experiencing a sense of fulfillment from the work that they were doing, they were frustrated. Because sin, they had disobeyed God, that had brought a curse on the earth, and they experienced the consequences of that curse. They still worked, and it produced benefits, but it was much more difficult. And today we know that the general rule of life is that if you want to accomplish something, if you want to enjoy something, you have to work hard in order to do that. And the more you work, then the more benefits you get. I mean, for any teenager that starts a job, they soon learn that, wow, if I work, I actually get paid. And if I get paid, I can use that money to get something I want. So very early in life, we learn that if we work hard, we get extra things and that make life a little easier and a little bit better. And so what happens is that it doesn't take long to realize that you can get into the habit of working longer and harder, and then you can start dreaming about making more money, getting some more things, enjoying more experiences so that you can be able to buy more things and enjoy more experiences. And you can get into this habit of thinking that the more I work, then the more stuff I can get, the more experiences I can have. And you can get into this endless cycle of working because you feel like I can't stop because there's something else I want to obtain. There's another level I want to achieve. And some people get to the end of life and they realize they can't stop because there's still that one more thing they have to get and they have to work harder to get to it. And for some people, they get to the point where they realize, I don't know who I am if I stop because my identity is surrounded in this idea of working and accomplishing and developing and creating. And I think that's all I am, is just somebody who works hard. Now, you need to listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I am not suggesting that you should not work hard, because the Bible tells us to work hard. In fact, Proverbs has many verses that encourage us to work hard, and when you work hard, there's a benefit to it. I'm not saying that. God made us to be creative people, and we know how to work. We know how to create things. But here's the problem. God knew that when he gave us the ability to create, the ability to produce, the ability to work, the ability to accomplish things, he knew that we would face the temptation to think it was all about, life was all about what we produced, what we accomplished, what we created. And you see, if I believe that that is what life is all about, then my time, my energy is going to go into producing more, accomplishing more, creating more. Because if I don't do those things, then life has no meaning. That's why some people, when they retire, they go into a deep depression. And the sad statistics are that some people, shortly after they retire, die because there's nothing left to live for. Because their life has been consumed with work. As good as work is, that is not what life is all about. That's why when God gave humanity the ability to produce and create and develop, he gave us an amazing gift. And the gift is called the Sabbath. This word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And it's not the word Saturday that we use comes from the Latin, but the Shabbat, the Sabbath comes from this, the Hebrew, and the word Shabbat means to rest, to stop, to cease, to desist, to stop doing what we're doing. And this is a gift that God has given to us. If we're going to understand the Sabbath as a habit, we need to understand some background of the Sabbath. So unfortunately, I need to spend a fair bit of time here giving you some background so you understand the significance of it. Because if you understand the significance of the Sabbath, you will understand how to practice it as a habit. Now, most of you know that the Sabbath shows up in the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And when God gave this command, the people already had this sense of one day in seven, because that was what God, that comes from creation, and God revealed that to Moses, that that's how the world was created. And right now, some of you are stopping and thinking, wait a second, we do not have the Sabbath, because we're worshiping on Sunday, not Saturday, so what does that mean? And I know that if I don't take a little bit of time to answer that question, some of you are going to be thinking about that, and you're not going to listen to what else I'm saying. So let me give you the quick answer. And if you need more information, send us an email and we can send you more notes, okay? I'm going to try to summarize it as quickly as we can here. When we think about the Sabbath and Sunday, we need to understand that Jesus, when he came, he made it clear that he was introducing a new covenant, a new agreement. The old covenant that God had with the children of Israel was the Ten Commandments was like the foundation of it, and all the other commands were part of that. Were an explanation of how to live out those Ten Commandments. When Jesus came, he brought those laws to an end. Now, the basic moral code that was behind the Ten Commandments still stayed. The difference is that the Ten Commandments and all the other commands that went with it, the hundreds of commands, were things that were very specific, were limited to that place, that time, the country they were living in. But now, Jesus said the new commandment is a commandment where the Spirit was going to be living in us and doing a work in us that he wasn't doing in the Old Testament, that now we were going to be able to keep the law of God because the Spirit was enabling us to keep it and we were understanding it without having a specific list of all these rules for every situation we find. So now through the Spirit, we have the sense of knowing what to do. Because the essence of the law is loving God and loving your neighbors. The whole law is summed up in those two things, loving God and loving your neighbor. So when Jesus came, he put an end to all the specific rules that were in the Old Testament. And it's interesting when you look at the Ten Commandments, nine of the ten are clearly restated in the New Testament for us to obey. the one command that isn't restated clearly as directly is the command of the Sabbath. But when we look at the early Christians and how they dealt with the Sabbath, we notice that after Jesus rose from the dead, the early Christians worshipped Jesus on Sunday. And what's interesting is that the first Christians were, for the most part, Jews in Jerusalem, right? The church started in Jerusalem. Most of them were Jews. So what day did they have off? They had Saturday. The Sabbath was their day off from work. None of them went to work on Saturday. But they worshipped on Sunday, the first day of the week. And it's not clearly stated anywhere, but the implication is that the reason why they worshipped on the Sunday is because Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week, the Sunday. And they understood they were going to worship Jesus on the Sunday, but they still had the Saturday off. And historical records show that they worshipped early in the morning and late in the evening because the people had to work on Sunday, which changes the way some people talk about that today, but that's a whole nother issue. So when we're going to look at, when we think about this whole Sabbath thing in terms of the Old Testament, it's also helpful to remember the passage we came across in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, remember when we studied that, we saw, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day," because there were more than just one day a week. There were special Sabbaths. "These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." What he is saying is that in Christ, we experience what the Sabbath was intended to provide. In Christ, we experience the kind of rest that the Sabbath could not provide. Only in Christ do we experience the reality of that. And the book of Hebrews talks about this concept of rest and talks about the Sabbath rest. And it says we experience that now in Christ, but we also look forward to the ultimate Sabbath rest because we're still under the curse of sin now. So we get a taste of it, but the ultimate reality is going to come in the future. So it's clear from this that the specific regulations of the Old Testament are set aside and the keeping of the Sabbath was not intended for New Testament believers. However, we still find the concept of the Sabbath showing up in the New Testament and we're still expected to keep the intent of it. So that's what we want to think about now. What is it that we are supposed to do in terms of this Sabbath? How is it that it's a gift to us? In order to understand that again, we need to think, what's the purpose of the Sabbath originally? When you look at the Old Testament, you say, what did God intend for the Sabbath day? We find there are two things that clearly show up. The first one that they were supposed to do, that the people were supposed to do, is to rest. Rest. Remember, the word Sabbath comes from Shabbat, to cease, to stop. And the whole point is to stop work. Now, it doesn't mean to stop work and do nothing. God intended them to stop work and do something else. And that something else that they were supposed to do, I think, could be summarized in the word reflect. Now, you may want to use the word worship here if that helps. But I think if I use the word worship, you would think Sunday morning at a service. The word reflect is the idea is that we reflect on who God is and what he's done and who I am. We reflect on life, which is really an act of worship. And Luke's going to talk about that next week. But reflecting, it's saying, I need to stop this ritual that I'm in, this never-ending cycle of working and producing and developing, to be able to stop, to rest, and reflect on what life is all about. Now, as you read the Sabbath explanations, the Sabbath commands in the Old Testament, you come up, I notice there are five things that God intended for them to reflect on in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. And these same truths are things that you and I need to reflect on every week. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, we reflect on the fact that God was their creator. You know, the very beginning of the whole concept of Sabbath, when God gave the command in the Ten Commandments. He said the reason why you need to keep the Sabbath is because God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he Shabbat. He ceased, he stopped doing what he was doing, and he rested. And he also reflected. God saw what he did, and he says, that's good. God stopped, he rested, and he reflected on what he had done. In Genesis 1:31, that's where it says that he did that. So God gives us this example that even he himself, who doesn't need to rest, he works, stops, rests, and reflects. You know why people burn out? Very few people are emotionally burnt out because they work too hard. See, it isn't the problem of hard work. The problem is hard work without taking time to rest and reflect. When all we do is work without resting and reflecting, life becomes empty. It becomes meaningless. It becomes frustrating. We feel responsible for everything, right? When people are working endlessly, why do they do it? Oh, I have to, because it has to happen. No, you're not in charge. Isn't it interesting that on the Sabbath, it's like we have to say, I have to stop being in charge because God is in charge. And we see that's a theme that shows up. On the Sabbath, God was the one who provided. They needed to stop and to remember that God was their creator. He is the one that is in charge of the world. The second thing we find that they were to reflect on is that God was their redeemer. In Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are restated just before the people enter into the promised land. When it's stated there, the Sabbath, in Deuteronomy 5:15, God tells them, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? He says, do you remember when you were in Egypt? You were slaves. You had to work 7 days a week nonstop. You did not get a break. And you know what I did as your God? I redeemed you. I brought you out of that slavery, not so that you could keep working endlessly again, so that you would remember that once a week you could stop and rest because your God redeemed you. He was the one who delivered you. What an amazing thing to celebrate. So every week they had to stop and to celebrate that they could rest because God gave them freedom. And you and I can rest once a week from work to know that we don't have to be working all the time because God is the one who redeems us. He is the one that has made life meaningful. The third thing that we notice that is something they needed to reflect on was that God had a covenant with them. In Exodus 31:13, God tells the people, you must observe my Sabbaths. Sabbaths again. Each week there was a Sabbath, and there were special Sabbaths during the year and every so many years, 7 years and every seven sevenths. We don't have time to talk about that, but he says, remember my Sabbath. You must observe them. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Now, most of you know that the main sign of the covenant in the Old Testament was circumcision, because Abraham, starting with Abraham, circumcising Isaac, and that was the sign of the covenant. But here, God is saying the Sabbath is also a sign, because once a week you're going to stop from work and you're going to remember that you are in covenant with me. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room, he took the cup. He says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. This is the blood of the covenant that I have with you. The new covenant. We can experience it in a new way. And we're looking forward to being able to celebrate the Lord's table again. And it's something that we still need to do. We're practicing baptism, which is great. We need to figure out how to do the next one too properly. But isn't it amazing that God wants you to understand that you're in covenant with him? You see, your boss does not control your life. Some of you need to listen to your wife trying to tell you that, or your husband trying to tell you that. Your boss is not in charge of your life. God is. You're in covenant with God, not your work. And you need to take time to recognize that God is in charge of your life. And if God says you need to stop and rest and reflect, you need to do that. The fourth thing that we find they were to reflect on was that God controlled their time. So God was their creator. He was their redeemer. He was in covenant with them. But God also controlled their time. In Isaiah, Isaiah encourages the people to keep the Sabbath. Isaiah was one of the prophets. And that was the job of the prophets, to encourage the people to keep the law. Listen to what God says through Isaiah. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. What's he saying? If you would just stop and recognize that I am your God, I am your Redeemer, I am your Creator, I am the one who provides for you, I am the one who's doing this. If you would do that, you would find your joy in the Lord. You don't need to find your joy in work. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I hope you find fulfillment in your job, and if you don't, then maybe you need to consider whether you're doing what God designed you to do. But that is not the place, that is not the main place that you need to find joy and delight. You need to primarily find your joy and delight in God. And as you do that, you recognize that you find joy and delight in other things because you see them as a gift from God. So God controlled their time. Have you ever considered the fact that maybe your dissatisfaction and frustration with your life is because you're trying to find joy in all the wrong places? You need to find your joy in God. You need to stop, take time to rest, take time to reflect on who God is and what he's doing in your life. So God was their creator. God was their redeemer. God was in covenant with them. He controlled their time. And then the fifth thing that we find that was meant to be reflected on in the Sabbath was that God supplied their needs. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. You remember they were in the wilderness, like 1.5 million people. There was nothing to eat. And what did God do? He provided manna that appeared on the ground. It was like some kind of a bread. And then quail. He also had quail would come and they'd be able to have meat. Here's the interesting thing. In Exodus chapter 16, and we don't have time to read through it, but if you look at Exodus chapter 16, God explains to them how what he expects them to do about this manna and quail. Because what God did was God says, I'm not going to give it to you every day of the week. I'm going to give it to you every day for 6 days. And every day they had to get up and collect it. If they tried to keep it for 2 days, it would go rotten. Except on the Friday, they would collect twice as much so that there was no food collection to take place on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. And what God was showing them is that he was the one who was going to provide for their needs, and he could trust them to provide. And that's why you can take a break once a week, and you do it as an act of faith to say, God, I'm trusting you to provide for my needs. It isn't about how hard I work. It isn't about how much energy I expel. It's all about you. And I need to stop, and I need to stop worrying about where my food is coming from, where I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to take this break. Taking time to reflect on how God had provided all week and how he will continue to provide. Now, what does this mean for us today? I haven't given you a command from the New Testament to say keep the Sabbath because you're not going to find one. But you do find this emphasis over and over again that you need to take time to rest and reflect. And the early church understood that just as the Sabbath was that where the people were forced to do it one day a week, they needed to take time to rest and reflect. And the early church in Jerusalem did it Saturday and Sunday. They rested on Saturday and reflected on Sunday. And you and I need to think about what does that mean for us? And Colossians remind us that we don't follow the Sabbath rules from the Old Testament. But we need to practice the intent of the Sabbath, and we need to make it a habit. Because if you don't make it a habit, you're not going to do it. So we need to rest and reflect on the fact that God is our creator. He's our redeemer. He's the one who is in covenant with us. He controls our time. He provides for our needs. Now, if these five things are true, then I can take a break. I don't have to be working 7 days a week. Because God is at work. God is the one who has promised to do what he has said. Isn't that the essence of what we find in the gospel? Isn't the essence of the gospel is that you don't have to work? God has done the work. You can rest in the fact that God has done everything that he needs to do for your life to be changed. Even the process of sanctification, of becoming more and more like Christ, is foundational in the fact that God is the one who is working in you to accomplish his purposes. He is the one that's doing the work. Now, that doesn't mean don't do any effort. We're seeing the emphasis of, yes, we do our part, but it isn't all up to us. We can rest knowing that God is going to do his part. He promised to do it. And the whole concept of the Sabbath means the pressure is off. I don't have to devote myself to making myself better so that somehow God is going to be pleased with me. I can work hard because I want to please God. But when it comes right down to it, I can't do it on my own. And there are times when, as hard as I work, I need to just totally trust in God and rest in him. Now, what does this mean practically? Some of you may be working 7 days a week. You need to change that. You need to go to your boss and say, I'm sorry, you're not in charge of my life, God is. They may not want to be that direct, but maybe you need to. But you need to figure out that somehow that your life is not designed to work that way, and God does not want you to be working 7 days a week nonstop. You need to figure that out. Now, there may be the occasion when there's an emergency and you have to work. I get that, because sometimes pastors have to do that. But you can't do that on a regular basis. It's not good. It's unhealthy emotionally, spiritually, physically. If you aren't taking time to worship God every week, you need to do something about that. And we know there are some people that can't come out because of health reasons, so they're watching at home. And for some of you, when you are watching at home, let me challenge you. Don't make it white noise that's on your screen on the side while you're eating breakfast. I know, because when we were at home before we could come out, we would watch the first service while we were eating breakfast and then sit down and watch the second service. But it was easy just to be not really listening, not really paying attention. If you're worshiping at home, make it a time that you worship. Make that your focus. Take time to reflect on what is being taught. Some people have jobs with schedules that change every week. And if that's you, you need to find out how you're going to schedule time in your weekly crazy schedule when you're going to take time to rest and take time to reflect, to have that perspective on who God is and what he's doing. God designed us to work and to be productive, but he also gave us the wonderful gift of rest. Receive that gift. That's the response. That's the gospel response, to receive the gift of rest that God gives us. Now, ironically, you have to put out the effort to make it happen, right? You have to put out the effort to say, I need to do this and I need to change my schedule. I need to change my routine. Make the effort to experience what God wants. And while you do that, don't just rest and play a game. Take time to reflect. Take time in scripture and in prayer to say, God, remind me that you are my creator, that you are my redeemer, that you meet my needs, that I'm in covenant with you, that you control my time. Remind me, God, help me to reflect on what that means. And it changes your life, because this is a habit that helps you to practice the other habits and makes the other habits a delight. Let's pray. Father, help us to remember that true rest comes from you. Help us to believe the truth of the gospel, that Jesus has done all the work necessary to set us free from the curse of sin so that we can rest. Help us to take time each week to rest and reflect on who you are, on who we are in relationship with you. And may we enjoy this wonderful habit of Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.